Welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, with and Tiz.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. A show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I'm one third of the partners, your boy Tiz, with my homies.
Yo, it's the Padawan here in Southeast Virginia, better known as 757, author and creator of Godlike. And here, I always find a way to fuck it up. There you go, Face.
What's going on, man? The Paracreative part of Podness Podcast. What's going on with y'all, man?
Not much, man. Working, you know, been Christmas shopping and got that knocked out and got bills paid. So I feel good going into the Christmas holiday that my mind is clear on all financial obligations. Work going good, going into the last week for them break. Looking forward to some good family time. Looking forward to, you know, making some hot cocoa, kicking up with the family shit. And that's about it, man. What's up with y'all?
Smoke.
Right on.
Same here. Working. Try to get the house together because, you know, like, I would get real personal. In August, my house got flooded out. So we just now getting everything back into place. I spent all of Saturday putting up blinds and drilling holes and putting up paintings and not paintings, but, you know, pictures and shit or whatever. So everything's back pretty much. The whole time I was thinking to myself, like I always think, I need superpowers so we can get all this shit done pretty much. So, all right. Also in my topic that I'm going to bring up later or whatever, I got into a little rabbit hole. So I'll bring that up later. But to start it off, my random topic, I got a little rabbit hole, like going through YouTube and Twitter or whatever, looking at my topic and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. Not that. Maybe. Yeah. Let me shut up before I say something perverted. Anyway. Yeah, I got into the vortex or whatever. And then, so I'm going to just go to it. My random topic, right? It kind of blends in with that. So it's a question for y'all because I already know my answer. Mm-hmm. If you were granted superpowers because of some kind of shift in the universe or whatever, what would be that superpower?
Okay. Let's go. The ability to teleport on the Nightcrawler type, where I could teleport myself or whatever is in contact with clothing and that exact same form of teleportation. I feel like it would be just as useful as like super speed as far as getting out of any situations or saving somebody if I needed to. It would be as helpful as going invisible without being as creepy. Uh-huh. And I don't know. I feel like I could do a lot of good with it. I feel like I'd never be late anywhere anymore. And yeah, teleportation.
I will say to that, with Nightcrawler, you might want to expand the power because he can't teleport unless he knows where the hell he's going. So yours need to be a little bit stronger than his. And he has to go through a demonic like dimension to teleport, so you might want to leave that out too.
Want the teleportation, but I just mean the parts of his powers where you could
the beneficial like ones.
Teleportation in general would be my thing.
I
don't mind having to know where I'm going because I kind of have a specific idea. Mm-hmm.
What say you, Face?
Well, if I had powers, what's the dude from Watchmen? The blue dude,
Mr. Manhattan.
Yeah,
I would want to look like me, but have all his powers.
Now, mind you, I'm a comic book nerd, so you know that practically, you said you want to be a metaphysical god, pretty much, because he could literally do whatever the fuck he want. Like he could literally go back into time, knock somebody out of time and change the time stream.
His powers, period. Like blanket statement, his powers. Because I'm also thinking about the fact that the way he sees time, He literally had to have somebody punch a hole in his skull and put a chip in his head to get him from, to just to allow him to have a normal love life with his wife. And like, once that's out, everything normal flies out of the window and you basically become an isolated person who has no friends, family, or
an introvert.
Yeah.
To a super extreme level.
Yeah. The thing like, about his is
to
like
the point where you can't have your, like, you almost can't have personal interactions even if you want to. Like, he wanted to try to have interactions with people, but the reason he got that Chippendale is because the black girl was like getting annoyed because he would already know everything. And that got annoying to the people around him. Like, to him, it's just, he can't help it. But to everybody else who's normal, like, it pushes them away. So he ends up on a planet by himself in complete isolation from everybody he loves.
And he can see all times at one time. And that could give you a headache.
Sometimes I believe at one point or another, every one of us goes to that point that you just want to be isolated to yourself. So if I had to choose a superpower, I'd choose that one.
Okay.
If I got to go super, I'm going to go super. I'm gonna go super, super. I gotta go super.
As long as
I don't want to fly. I don't want to fly because I'm scared of heights. I don't want to be invisible because I just feel like it's creepy as hell. I don't want to read people's thoughts. Just that, because I just be consumed with what you think. So I just won't be just like that dude. So, I mean, if I had to choose something else, I'd be like Wolverine. About it.
True.
But that's Pat.
As y'all know, I've probably been thinking about this for all my life.
I am very aware, probably consumed with this thought than everybody else.
Pretty much the main reason why I made this dang book in the first place, but I would say it would basically be like my character's power, where he can absorb and manipulate and produce energy to his own doing. Like, he can use it to heal himself because everything is energy or whatever. I just need to learn how to control it, because if everything is energy, you know, like, if I just absorb a whole bunch of negative energy, what's that going to turn me into? You know what I'm saying? If I absorb a whole bunch of positive energy, then I'd be all giddy and happy and shit all the fucking time and looking corny. And y'all be joking me all the fucking time at the same time. Or
with
this, I can use
energy. Is it like you control when and where you absorb the energy, or is it just like whenever you're in contact with the new energy, you start absorbing? Passive power, or is it like you have to activate and be like, okay, now I'm sucking your power? Or is it like role where if she touches you, that's it, whether she wants to or not, she got it?
Not like all right, you know how the basis of Superman's power is he absorbs the sun from our sun, and is different than the sun that he was born under, and that sun makes his power, pretty much kind of like that. Like, the energy strengthens me up, it'll heal me, you know, things like that. Like, just manipulating it that way. Like I can sunbathe all day or whatever, and if I have a scratch, it'll instantly heal up or something like that.
So it's specific energies.
Yeah, like
absorb it. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, oh, so like he's taking life force and like shutting down electronics everywhere he go and like busting out like like just.
But like in the story, I'm writing it as eventually he gets to the point where he can control other energies or whatever. But for me, I would start off with sunlight or whatever, and then work on other things or whatever. Just the ability to be able to absorb energies and then, you know, see what I could do with it, pretty much, whatever. Just because I feel like everything is energy. So if everything is energy, I can always find some type of source to heal me or whatever if I go through something.
Hold up. With everything is energy. So with that, with the power, I'm going to take it somewhere with the face brain real quick.
Oh, bro.
So if everything is energy, right? Can you reanimate energy or shift energy?
It's a possibility that I can if I learn how to do it. pretty much.
Continuation on that, if you can and learn how to do it, will in that education that you acquire, would that maybe stem on the line of reanimation of life, being that life is an energy?
It could, but I would have to be very careful about that. You get what I'm saying? Like, because I'm not God. So you never know. I might bring something back that might not all the way be back. You know, like and then I can control zombies or something. Or something like that.
Animated, but not actually alive.
Yeah. Cause it's not that unless I'm absorbing that person's soul energy, and then you got to find that person's soul energy to put it back in there or whatever, which is kind of like with the X-Men book I've been reading. They've been doing that in general, but that's a whole nother story for another time. But it would probably be only limited to my imagination. I just would have to figure out the way to how to manipulate those, because with everything, you got to learn how to do it. You can't just, you know what I'm saying, do it or whatever. Because usually if you just try to do it or whatever without a plan, it might be a something else that you're not expecting, you know, pretty much. So I've been thinking about this all forever. So like if I would be able to bring people back to dead with life energy or whatever, it all depends on how much like residual energy from them is still in that body for me to reanimate them, you know. Like I kind of feel like if somebody just died, maybe I would be able to bring them back at that instant without, you know, circumstance, no more than the trauma of what they just went through, you know, in general. But if it was like somebody that would die like a year ago, that person may come back zombie form, you know. In general, it might be a time constraint on how much I can actually do, pretty much. So,
another question. I have another question on your powers. Okay, so you said you're with your powers, you would feed off the sun, right? Mm-hmm. So say it's a battle. We're just gonna say battle term. Say it's a battle, and it happened to be at dusk or at night. Would you draw your energy from the earth itself, like as in, i.e., Goku with a spirit bomb?
See, if everything is energy, there's energy somewhere. So that would probably be the point where I'd be trying to go find some electricity or something like that. But what would the electricity do?
Energy bender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first energy bender. Okay. It's like you don't have to be absorbing anything, but if you learn how to do it, it's like you can train yourself in different forms of energy, be able like, to. Okay.
I would think in anything, instinctually, it would happen first. Like it would be something that happened to me, and then the trauma of it will make my body react to whatever newfound power it actually has for the first time. So you don't know when the power actually happened or whatever until something happens to you for you to react that way, pretty much. So it'll be around those constraints. Like I would instinctually learn and then realize it. Once I realize it, I'll try to like, you know, conjure it, then try to manipulate it and learn how to better use it, pretty much. Yeah. So like if Face wanted to be Mr. Manhattan with, you know, practice and training or whatever, he could do that. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with your teleportation. If with mastery and training and consistently do it, you could probably go wherever the hell you want at any time.
So when you're thinking of this topic, basically you're coming at it from the perspective of the hero's journey type thing, where you start off like Spider-Man, awkward with your powers and like stumbling through a little bit and kind of creating a little bit of wreckage, and then over time you train and you master your powers. Okay.
Yeah, because we humans, man, we're not perfect. So if we get powers, like I don't think, you know what I'm saying, I always feel like it's a stipulation with something. You know, like for every pro, there's some kind of con somewhere. Sometimes it's not always, but it's got to be some type of stipulation. So if we gifted in something out of the blue, I feel like it'll be one of those things where we would have to learn to be better at it before you can, so we can learn how to use it responsibly instead of willy-nilly. So everybody had total control of what they could do at first. You know what I'm saying? It would be anarchy, you know?
That.
Okay. So basically, okay. All right. So I guess what we stand on that is we will be keeping powers, but we will be learning to be masters of our powers. So people out there in the world, please be safe until we get our mastery, because we might shoot a laser through your crib or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting my mastery.
Just keep an eye out for it.
Nobody wants Cyclops powers.
Keep your head on a swivel. And at that point, obviously the mere mortals out there would no longer be equitable to us. But I saw a show recently on ESPN, and it got me into this kind of train of thought around equity, toxic masculinity, just a whole bunch of stuff. So basically, on the show, there was an analyst or whatever, and they were talking about WNBA salaries versus NBA salaries and the reason for the wage gap in the two leagues. And basically, the man was making the point that because of the lower ticket sales and the lower TV revenue, the WNBA, that's the reason why they can't pay the women as much as the men, because they're not generating revenue that way. And one of the reasons the gap is because the men's game is more exciting because of things like dunks and you seeing somebody get posterized or somebody going for a dunk and getting blocked at the rim. And what suggested was lowering the woman's rim to 9.5 or 9 feet so that dunking could be more part of their game. It could get the excitement up and you could see women coming down, jamming on each other, which would get more of the casual fan, which a lot of fans are women who are not tuning in. So even women are tuning into the man product more. So like the man was basically saying, you know, get dunking involved in the woman's game. It can speed up the game. It can allow more of the casual fan to get excited about the women's game, therefore generate more revenue. The woman, she was a basketball player. I can't remember her name, but she was basically like, oh my God, that's toxic masculinity for you to even suggest that you would need to lower the rim for the woman as if we're not good enough to play on the same rim as the men. And he went off on this tirade on him and was like really kind of nasty to him about it. And basically, the guy was basically just suggesting like a practical solution to like how to get women paid more and a thing. And the woman took it as like he was trying to demean women and say they on a 10 for a rim, et cetera. So I guess, do you feel that the statement that the guy made was one that was toxic? Do you believe in the state and the overarching term of toxic manhood? And what is manhood to you?
Well, I feel like it all depends on the way he said it. I didn't actually hear it myself or whatever, but if he was just trying to think of a practical way, he might not have any malicious intent behind it. He may just be, you know, trying to think, you know, okay, we could do it this way, and then we can have more excitement built onto that or in general. But, and I'll just say, if in some cases, being logical or saying it practical or saying some type of practicality may come off as like unemotional, you know, in general, or like come off the wrong way in general. So me personally, I always give people the business benefit of the doubt before I actually look at it. So if I I'm in that person's shoes, the guy that said it or whatever, I wouldn't think I would say something like that out of a malicious intent or any type of mindset where I think women are inferior in general. It all depends on that man and that person or whatever. But at the same time, if a person feel that, you know, you can't help how a person feels, you know, in general. So I really don't think he meant it in a malicious intent the way you described it or whatever, but I can't necessarily say I understand where she came from. Well, I can understand where she's coming from with it, because if you say, hey, you can't dunk this high, you're saying that I can't do something in general. And then she might have took it that way. It all depends on the perspective to me in this situation or whatever. But at the end of the day, it should be the woman's decision if they want to lower it down or not, pretty much.
Okay. What say you, Face?
I'm gonna pull a tears and say I got a couple of different talking points based on what you said. The first one, when it comes to the entertainment, especially the sports entertainment business, we all know it's a male driven business, and women's sports is not brand new, but in the overall scheme of things, it is new in relation to them getting paid. With that being said, when the ABA came out, before the NBA came out, they won't get paid that much. They had to work up to get their revenue, to get that fan base up. And it took years and years and years to build that till they got to the point where they could draw the revenue they drew. As far as with the women, I feel that it's going to lean towards, it's going to be a more of a sex issue than a management, revenue, marketing issue, which it should be. Where you speak to women not even watching it. When it comes to anything, women don't support women. So you look at voting, women don't support women when they're the candidates to vote on. So it comes to sports. Women don't watch women's sports, which you would think they would, but for some reason, they don't support themselves. But at the end of the day, they will take up arms with each other and take the same fight. But at the end of the day, not realize that they're in the same sense fighting themselves with them, with other teams. Next thing, when it comes to the decision actually being made, I don't think it just need to be a woman's decision to be made, because once again, it's not just a sex thing. It is a money and a marketing thing. So they need to be in the industry while on that other side of the table from the man's perspective, as far as not just a man's perspective, but as far as I've been in this industry, I know how to draw revenue. These are some things y'all may want to look into. Just some advice. If y'all want to take it, don't take it. But we see where it can go. I've been in this. Cool. Go get somebody that can ask these questions to. You don't have to ask the person to make this decision for you, but get some advice, because there are some good female ballers. There's some good female hoopers, but the razzmatazz or the excitement from the ball players is just not there. It's a lot of fundamentals, a lot of jump shots, a lot of making some crossovers, making some back downs. But as far as the excitement, what you can look for, as far as the male sports with the physicality and them getting extra physical, you don't see that in the female sports. Me personally, even with the female football league, the lingerie football league, now they get down. I've watched a couple games and they get down. There ain't no flag football. There's full contact pass and everything. But at the end of the day, their fan base isn't big enough to compare against the NFL. And you have to look at it. Those players are extra sexualized because they're putting lingerie to play football, and they still can't get the same fan base as the regular NFL. So you have to look at it. Where is the issue at? It can't be just because it's females, because they've overhyped their sexuality in that element, and they still can't draw the revenue that the regular males football teams can. So we have to look deeper into it and get some marketing advice, because I don't think it's something they're doing themselves physically. I think it's a business decision being made.
I think it's more, it's a marketing and societal point, off of what you're saying. It's more societal, because even with women that watch sports or whatever, they mostly watch men's sports, and it's one of those things that they probably grew up with. I know some women, that was the thing that they bonded with their dad with or something, you know, so that's all they knew. Like, in general, it's like, well, with a lot of things, it's like we have to grow up into it to get used to it for it to go in general. But that's one of those things that marketing needs to work on, like making it a more norm and a more present thing much. And I ain't gonna lie, I kind of got scared, because I'm scared of women when it comes to these topics.
I got you.
So that's what I said.
I sensed your apprehension.
I was like, I don't
job of maintaining your
I didn't want to say
your,
that.
Your unbiased stance, and I respect that. Podcast land, here come a tears tape. Excuse me, everybody, and know that I'm coming from the most sincerest of places. I am currently on a journey through shedding some of my old habits, which were toxic, but I'm still a realist and I'm a very logical person, and they are not for the flowery way we often want to put our emotions, attach our emotions to things. So I'm going to go with, yes, it's a business thing. That is one half of it. But I think that word that you said is a societal thing. Mm-hmm. I like that you hit on that, Pat. I feel like personally, and y'all can let me know if y'all agree, disagree, whatever, you know, I feel like society in general is getting softer. And I don't mean men are getting more feminine. I mean women, men of all genders, orientations, and everything else are becoming so hypersensitive to the smallest of thing or insecurity that they have. Everything is projected on everybody as if you are a malicious person that you are trying to attack them.
Yeah.
This conversation of where the man is simply saying the business is not there to pay the women what it is. This is not a situation of men and women in the exact same. If a woman was on a man team and she's getting paid less, then okay, we can have that conversation. But this is a situation of you are in a separate league and your league is not drawing the revenue that this other one is. So you can't get anywhere near the money that this other one. How do we get your revenue up? The man said, not giving you equality, because you have equality right now. You play the exact same game on the same floor with the same with the same hoop, with the same rules as the men play under, and it's not working. It's time for equity. And I think in society, we have gotten so stuck on everyone must be equal that we're losing the sight of, let's stop looking at that. Let's be real so we can make things equitable. So equality is the illusion that everybody gets a chance to sit down in the classroom. So everybody has a chair. Equity is making sure that everybody in the classroom has a seat adjusted to their height so that they can actually see in the classroom. Because what does it matter if you are the shortest person in the room, but your seat is at the back? You have a seat, but you still can't see. And that's where women are in certain places. That's where Black people are in certain places. We are fighting to be equal. We want to be, treat me just like you. But we're ignoring the basic fact that as humans, every single one of us is different. Every race of us is different. Every gender is different. Every orientation is different. It's a reason for that. We're not meant to be one amalgamous, amorphous blob of everything is the same. We're meant to feed off of each other's energies and learn new things from each other and see things from a different perspective and learn about the different part of the world. So I think this drive to be equal is what's driving, not the people who are coming at logical arguments. There's people out here who are in the feminist movement making logical arguments. There's people in the Save Black Women movement or Protect Black Women movement that are making logical arguments. But I'm speaking to people like this woman who took a benign comment. And instead of, if you disagree, but don't automatically paint this man who didn't say you can't play on a 10-foot rim, you're playing on a 10-foot rim now and making shots and shooting the same three-pointers everybody else is. He's saying you doing it on that rim is equal, but it's not equitable to what the men have. What the men have is the ability to drive and jump over the rim, put an elbow up over the rim and dunk on another man, which gets the crowd out of their seats and make people and puts highlight clips on YouTube and generates more like fervor over their game. But instead of even trying to see the logic in a lot of people's arguments, people would rather go to, oh, you're a hater, you're a troll, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a chauvinist, you're this, you're ist, whatever the ist is of the day. And for me, I feel like we gotta get out of that shit, man. I feel like some of these arguments get so caught up in how we feel about it, how we feel about, oh, yes, there is something to be said about systemic racism. But there's also a point of those of us that get out, how do we adjust ourselves to actually do anything to fight that? How are we perpetuating certain stereotypes or things that may be getting in the way of us trying to progress or getting in the way of people in a position that are looking for someone to lead them, taking us seriously? Like, I don't know, but it just really took me into the mindset of like, we are really getting so soft as a nation that we can't have the honest conversations we need to have that will push us forward. Thoughts, opinions, takes.
I got one for you. That you brought that up about the sensitivity of the nation getting so soft, and so, especially this year, this climate. I had a conversation today with somebody I never thought I might have a conversation with. Perfectly good conversation. Laughed, threw a couple of jokes. Never think. Biggest Trump supporter you would ever meet. This man was biggest Trump supporter. His truck is covered in nothing but Trump 2020. Trump, he got his face stenciled all on his truck. Everything is Trump. Everything is Trump and anti-Democrat. Came in, we had a perfect conversation talking about poker, talking about some more stuff. He was like, all right, brother, I'll see you next day. I was like, all right, brother, I'll see you tomorrow, man. Have a go. There's no sensitivity. I don't care what your personal beliefs is. It's respect with me. You feel me? All this sensitivity and stuff is this politically correct stuff. I'm an 80s baby. So I grew up at a time it wasn't politically correct. I told you guys a lot of reasons. I grew up using that we can't use that because it's not politically correct. And that's just what it was. In your household, you got called what you got called. And it's just gone about your business. But nowadays, everything is, you hurt my feelings. And so I personally raised my kids. That feeling stuff, I've kind of raised them that don't get in your mind. Somebody hurt your feelings, that means something. Because when you go in the real world, 9 times out of 10, the next man will care about your feelings. So it's up to you to protect your feelings. And if you allow them to be hurt so easily, you didn't really care about your feelings that much. So at the end of the day, even with my regulars and my girls or my boy, it's the same. I bring them up, try to be the same. You feel like, don't be so weak feeling wise. It's good. It's okay to show your weakness. It's okay to have emotions, but at the end of the day, don't let the littlest thing said to you break you down because it's just a word.
Exactly. That's what I be telling mine. Like, no. It's one thing to feel the feelings. Like, everybody's human. You're supposed to feel emotion. But don't let your emotion stop your action. Don't let your emotion make you immobilized in the ability to actually fix the thing that's causing you that hurt or causing you frustration or that anger or that pain. Like, if you get stuck in that emotion, you can't find a way to move forward.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You got to break out of it. You got to break out of it and go forward. But it become a condition with our society to become those people stuck in our emotions and publicize, oh, our feelings are hurt, we failed. At the end of the day, we only care because we made the care now because it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Me personally,
like, we're so busy beating everybody a trophy and making everybody feel great that no people are scared to look at the realism of the world. Like, everybody ain't perfect. There's shit that everybody in the world can't fix, and we don't because we want to act
perfect. Everybody don't get it
right. And because you disagree with me, I'm going to be offended as opposed to actually listen as to why you disagree with me. You might have some gems in there and I might have some gems for you. Exactly. And we might both leave a conversation growing, but our emotions are getting in the way and we arguing or we are not even having the conversation. It's just, I don't know.
This is my thing. This is my thing. People are like actively trying to be sensitive. So they can have situations like this, so they can have, because they addicted to that attention or whatever. So they're trying to find little things so they can reach on, pretty much, just to keep that going. And that's part of the whole thing that's keeping this sensitive society going onward, you know, in general. It's become a habit now. And you got to change the habit, pretty much.
Me personally, I feel it's like it's a lot of estrogen-like tendencies going around in our culture and society now. I'm gonna say it like that. There's a lot of estrogen-like tendencies going on. People thinking on emotion and not logic, like we should. You go to school to learn how to think, not feel. But everyone's in this world trying to feel everything. Think. Use your brain. It ain't illegal yet.
That's a big fact.
You can still do that. Receive the information people trying to sell you. Don't. Every time someone says something to you, it's not meant to aim at you. Sometimes it's meant to help you. It's all about how you receive.
Exactly.
And that's a big thing. Depending on and always wearing their heart on it and wearing their heart. Like, toughen the hell up. Basically, just get it right. The worst stuff ever said to me, the worst stuff ever said to me won't say to me by a stranger, it was said to me by family and friends. And I can deal with that. So ain't nothing no stranger gonna say to me or hurt my feelings. So I don't see why nobody in the world would care about what another stranger said to them. Me personally, I really don't. But once again, I'm an 80s baby, so I may be raised differently. So
that's real. That's super real.
I don't know. But on another hand, what's been going on with me personally, as I always say, I got the most kids out of us three, but currently in my household, we're debating on an addition. So I wanted to bring that topic here because I know it's a lot of people deal with that topic. And it's not just a face thing. Just want to go over a couple that I personally think about it. Something friend brought to me to bring that concept to the round table. Well, you know, I got three kids personally. I've never contemplated adoption. That's just never something that came across my mind. It was brought to me. I contemplated, but for the sake of my wife, I put it to my mind. I contemplated ins and outs of it. But at the end of the day, after I contemplated, I still was against it, me personally. On that table, I had to put up, is it my happiness or what's going to make my wife happy? Is it a good thing to bring? Is it safe for my family and safe to bring another individual that is not known to nobody into this situation? Just all around happiness of not just myself, but the whole family inclusive. So, I mean, I had to just think about everything, but at the end of the day, I still boiled down to I was against it. So then you have to look at your other option because the end goal is not adoption, the end goal is a possible addition. So then you got to look at this climate of the world right now, 2020, economically wise, financially. So, I mean, is it a good financial decision? Because at the age I am, I'm looking at things differently. I'm not looking at things the same way I looked at things when I was 20 something. Like, man, I can have a kid. We can get it done. I'm damn near 40. I'm looking at finances. I'm looking at, okay, it costs this to have a kid. It costs this per year to do this. It costs this. Is it financially feasible to have this many kids and still add an addition and still want to do this? So I look at it a little differently than my wife may. But then again, I look at a lot of things different than a lot of people. So that's why I say I bring it to the round table because maybe you guys have been through the situation. I know, Pat, you don't have no kids, but you may have had a contemplation on having a kid or adopting a kid at one point in time. So you may have an opinion on the subject too. What y'all think?
You want to go first, Jason?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. I think on the topic of additions to families, period. That's a really touchy thing just because it's a very intimate decision. Like it's not something like, oh, do we want to go get a new washer this week? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's like something that is like permanent. It's lifelong and it's a huge responsibility. So like, it's hard to say whether anything is right or wrong in this. So I would say this, I think having the conversation and continuing it, maybe every 6 months to a year. Like I know for me, it was a time when I was completely off to having kids, period. Like, hell no, I'm good. One is enough. I'm done. I'm never doing it again. No. And I would say, you know, like the first, 5 years of my son's life, that's been my mantra. But now I do find myself being more open to the situation. I'm still not saying that, oh, let's go make one tomorrow. But I find that like over time, as I've shifted my mentality on certain things, as I've grown in certain areas, as I've reevaluated things, as things have changed financially, communication-wise, like just period over that 5-year span, I've changed. So I would just say to both of you, you know what I mean? Don't be gung-ho either way. You know what I mean? If that's kind of like a thing where y'all are kind of at an impasse, don't let that become something that takes y'all apart or like causes a rift. Use it as something that can bring y'all together by just keeping the conversation alive being completely honest about it, but also leaving that room to revisit in, say, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know what I mean? You may be both 50 years old and still feeling completely vigorous. And like, yes, she may still have that urge. You may still have that urge. And even though it's 10 years down the line, your kid's on the way out of the house, you may be like, hey, I kind of do want a little one right now. Or, you know what I mean? I might be open to adopting a teen, at-risk youth or a teenager or something. Or, like, you just never know what might change. Like, if you look at the way anybody has, either one of us thought at 19, and you look at those same situations that we're going through now with that brain as opposed to how we think about it now, a lot of that is night and day. Be the same people, but the things that we are desiring, the emotions we're feeling, the stage of life we are, the reflections we're having, all of that stuff changes your perception. So I would just say, you know, especially on something like that, like, use it as a way to come together by just keeping the conversation alive, keeping all options open, and being willing to say, at this moment, I'm not ready, or at this moment, I'm ready, but I'm willing to be honest and say, hey, maybe let's table it and come back to it. Who knows how I'll feel in the future? I'm not saying no forever. I'm just saying today I'm not where I feel completely comfortable. And I think that's about as much as a human being can do in those situations. I don't know. What say you, Pat?
I would say in face situation, I would say just be open to what your wife has to say, pretty much. But, you know, that's y'all decision between y'all relationships. I'm not the guru, of course, of relationships because I've been single for so long. But I would say, in my own personal opinion, I think in my situation, if I don't actually have a child, what, I'm going to be 37 in a couple of days in general. If I don't have a child, like, in the next 5 to 10 years, adoption, and I'm in a good space or whatever, adoption might be a good thing for me, you know, in general. But my situation is probably a weird situation in general. But I feel like it's more like how your space is, how you feel at that time. Do you feel like you have that energy in you to, you know, treat that child no differently than any other child, pretty much? And then if you feel like you still going to feel some type of way of like, this child is not really mine or whatever, like, you might not be ready for that, but, you know, you still want to have that open conversation just to, you know, explore. You never know where you go with that, pretty much. But at the end of the day, is your life is ultimately your decision between you and your mate, pretty much.
Big fact. I think what Pat said about the remembering, like, you have what it takes for the child. I think that's a good way to just keep it grounded in what it's really about. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, it's a decision y'all are making, but the child is a piece of it. They have feelings. They will feel whatever, and they will feel the repercussions, consequences, and rewards of whatever you decide. So, like, I think prefacing all the conversations and, like, what would be best for the possible child we're bringing in, does it make sense for that child? Are we truly able to give that child what they need, want, and deserve? Like, you know what I mean? Like, really keeping it in the, I guess, foundation of what is best, what would be best for a child in that situation. And I think that makes it easier, because then it's not so much of you versus wife or your idea versus her idea or anything. I think it's more of our ideas coming together, and when we put them together, does this make sense for this other life? And keeping it grounded in that. And like Pat said, you know, it is, at the end of the day, it's y'all decision, but I think if y'all keep it open and keep communicating about it and just keep it based around what's best for a kid, I think that's the most you can do in that. Like, yeah. That's one of the ones. Like, it's really no right or wrong answer. It's more just whatever is best for y'all and makes the most sense for your family. And I think that's same for the viewers, like, or the listeners. Like, at the end of the day, compromises is necessary, and just keeping that line of communication open, honesty, obviously, but keeping it grounded in the kid, and then what, then living with whatever is best for you and your family, because no two families are the exact same. So each family is different, and you, only you all know, you know, fully what each of you individually and as a collective could possibly give, et cetera, et cetera. So
now on to another note. Three things that piss me off this week.
Yay! My favorite segment.
First thing that pisses me off, and I really can't stand it, is people that says conversate instead of the real word converse.
Oh my god.
There's no such word as conversate.
Oh my god.
That's not a word.
Or when they do,
it's not a word.
Eight, and they just put an eight on something. Like, there's no eight on. Like, what is? Where are you getting this like suffix from? This doesn't go here. Yes.
I don't get it. But they get so mad when you try to let them know that is not a word. But you can't say it. Yes, I can. It's not in the English language. There's no. You can't find that word. It's conversation and converse.
Correct.
You were conversing with someone. Oh, you had a conversation with that person, but you didn't conversate with no one.
I have not seen it.
Face, I apologize because I'm from Portsmouth and they country out there. So they said conversate. And you might have been the first person to tell me that it was actually converse. And I had to look it up.
I think I was.
What? You want me to say converse? I ain't talking about no sneakers.
I probably said that stupid shit too. Yeah, I probably say that stupid shit too. Yeah. Thank you, Face. I apologize.
Ain't no problem, man. No problem at all. You know I'm always there to help out. Second thing that pissing me off this week is the double standard between women and men, especially in relationships.
And what, like, say more.
Well.
Go deeper.
Well, okay. Let's, for example, a woman can say something to you, but you can't say the same thing to that woman without her feeling a way that she wouldn't dare have you feel. So say for a true example, okay, say a woman calls you out of your name. Say a woman calls you a bitch, right? You're not supposed to be hurt by that. You're not supposed to be hurt. You're a big man. But call a woman that. How dare you call me on my name? You're a double standard. It's a word. It's the same word, regardless. Vocal inflection, it's the same word. Whatever I say to you, okay. You say the same thing to me, don't think it ain't going to be no difference. At the end of the day, I believe in equality. True equality. Women fought for years to have equal treatment. You go get equal treatment.
See, I'm cool straight with up. Either or. I'm cool with the equity or the equality. But I need to know which one it is. I hate the switch in between the two, depending on which one fits my narrative or my argument at this moment.
It ain't just black and white. It's a bunch of gray area in between.
Oh, man. Nuance. And
Third thing that pisses me off, and I think this pisses off anybody who got kids, once again, I can't watch my big TV. Kids is always hopping up the TV, man. Every time I want to sit down and watch a movie, the kids watch some on TV.
That's why you got them out there right now for this podcast, because he can say that out loud on the podcast. They just hear it. Like.
Message.
Just not enough. It's always consumed. It's always consumed. Big TV always consumed. So you know what I have to do? I got to go in the back room and look at the little TV. You see? But it's still a kid.
Yeah. They got you back there on the computer monitor while they live in the luxury.
Basically, they out in the living room looking at the 65-inch TV. and I'm in the back looking at the 19-inch.
Oh, they did you dirty.
Children, do you not know the TVs this man has gone through to get to this point?
See, I don't watch the TV thing so much because I have trained my son that if you want to watch a movie, that's what you have your tablet for. You can go right on in your room, build your clubhouse, and you can watch whatever you want to. But
you got a one-on-one.
This TV right here, this me and your mama stuff.
See, you got a one-on-one situation. It ain't one on nothing over here.
Yeah, you are really outnumbered. You're behind enemy line a little bit.
Yeah, you did. So.
You got to watch with my
eyes. I go with the flow. So I be watching whatever they want to watch, man. I done watched the whole three seasons of Keep-O 15 times. And well, we just restarted it today.
That's a good day. So, you going to watch it again?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I know how to do.
Because I ain't going to lie to you. That's what made me think of the energy bender when Pat was talking. Because I pretty much have been watching Avatar The Last Airbender for the past year and a half every week, pretty religiously. Like, to the point where, like, we know the words. We know the little moves the little cat be doing all of a sudden. We know when Appa fly up on the scene. We know the exact line right before, what's her name? Katara about to do her move. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm. Oh, here come Toph right here. Remember this? Like, it is ridiculous. I feel you. They will Bogard.
You know they got the second version of the Avatar with
yes, the Legend of Korra.
Yeah. Y'all watch that too?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's the whole Airbender, the last Airbender, and then it's the whole Korra. And then it's right back to Avatar. And then it's right back to Korra. And we just keep going back and forth. And then we sprinkle in other shows like Glitch Text and stuff. But it's pretty much, the same.
I got one more. I hadn't planned on putting this one in. But one more thing that pisses me off. And it's something that I do to my damn self. I hate coming home thinking I got an extra L in the house to roll up, and I ain't got nothing here. And I live a good little way from the store. Y'all seen where my once I get here, I ain't going back out.
So oh, jeez.
That is.
Yeah. So
that's everything that pisses me off this week.
I loved it. This is quickly becoming my favorite segment of the week. Every week, I look forward to it. I really do.
Oh man. All right. So I'm gonna go to the next topic. Before I came in, right, as y'all were talking, my brother just texted and said he binge watched us all through it, man. And I'm gonna watch the rest of
respect.
The text. Yeah.
Respect, twin. I appreciate
it. Since it was right in the moment, I had to bring it up. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's dope. Salute to
the KO right there.
Anybody else that's listening or watching, man, thank y'all. Every single view, every single listen, even if you don't make it through the whole show, just the fact that you took time out of your day to give us a minute, we appreciate it from the bottom of our heart. Like, we really do. This is just something that we did to chase a dream. And the fact that y'all even care enough to give our watches, you watch our commercials, you watch our promo on social media, whatever you watch of us or listen to of us, thank you. Thank you. The pod doesn't appreciate. That's dope.
Definitely.
So we got binged. That got to be like the first time we've ever gotten binged. That's a milestone. Mark this day. On the fifth episode, we found that out. Yeah.
We got binged on the fifth.
He said
he appreciates the marriage conversation, but I couldn't see the rest of the text message. But next topic is I wanted to talk about the vaccine pretty much. So in the vaccine... Ooh. When I got into that topic and then I went into a whole rabbit hole vortex of something else, right? So the beginning of this week, Monday, they started vaccinating. You're gonna correct me on that later, just like conversate and converse, watch. But they started vaccinating medical workers in general. Like I think they started in New York or whatever. And you know, this whole time, everyone is paranoid of the vaccine, pretty much. We've seen all the conspiracy theories, all the zeitgeist, Matrix about 4,000 or 5,000 times. Some of us think it's a chip in the vaccine. And this, that, and third, we've seen, you know, we're just waiting for the people with the vaccine, how they're going to respond, how their body's going to respond in the next couple of months and stuff like that. People are real paranoid about the vaccine or whatever. You know what? Before I go on, how do y'all feel about it?
I ain't been vaccinated since the 80s. That's the last time I took a vaccination was in the 80s. And I was a king of death. I had no choice. But the way the government is now, how everything is in our climate, me personally, I don't trust. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say like that. If we all supposed to take this Pfizer, I think that's how you pronounce it, Pfizer, who made the vaccine. If we all supposed to be taking it, it's all that good. Me personally, I'm not taking it to the owner of Trump and take it. And he hasn't taken it yet. His excuse was he don't want him to cut in front of the line. If I'm the owner of the company and I made the vaccine, and I'm saying it's 100% effective, or however percent effective they say it is, I'm gonna be the first one to take it. If everybody in the government supposed to be taking it down, if he ain't taking it, I don't trust it. At the end of the day, some conspiracies, it's conspiracy theories. But at the end of the day, I was raised not to trust everything. So I don't trust this either.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not as skeptical as FaZe. I mean, I worked in the medical field, so I'm pretty comfortable with vaccines. Like, I've taken flu shots before or whatever, but I'm also not a guinea pig. So even with, like, the vaccines I've taken, like, I let them go through their trials first. And I'm never going to be in that first wave of anything. Like, when they tried to open stuff back up a little bit, I was on the last to get to the grocery store. I let everybody else go out first, let them numbers spike, let everybody get that out of their system. Okay, let me see what's going to happen. Okay. So I think I'm going to do the same with the vaccine. I think once they release a vaccine and I see its efficacy is at a high enough percentage where I feel comfortable, and I see that the wave of people who have taken that vaccine has within a margin of error that I know should be there for vaccines as far as like side effects or people having any adverse reactions, then I'll jump on. But I'm definitely going to wait this first little round out, because I've been staying in my house and that's been working for me and my family pretty well so far. So at this point, if it ain't broke, I don't see no need to fix too much at this second. Now, once this gets around and they get this thing perfected and I see people walking around and ain't nobody grew no extra leg or grew a nose out, a foot out their nose or no weird stuff, then I might jump on it. But the last batch I saw, if I'm not mistaken, people was catching like Bell's palsy from it or something. They hadn't finished it up. And in the test trial, people were having some adverse reactions. So that tells me that
walk around like Jim Ross.
You are pushing it. Like, I get what you're doing. I know how vaccines work, but you're rushing it. As opposed to taking your time, letting the clinical trials take place, doing something like the other countries are doing, like actually putting a stronger mandate in to force people to keep their asses at home if they don't got to be out, instead of club COVID going on the internet. Like, you seeing people like we at the basketball court playing full court basketball 30 deep, wait, what I got next, like just stupid stuff we're doing. Like, I feel like, I'm down with the vaccine once it gets finished and once I've seen a wave of people and their effects are what I would expect should be. Until then, though, I'm chilling.
The sad thing is, in our country, with the society as it is, people would rather run and take a drug that they're told it'll make them better instead of just taking the necessary precautions to not be exposed.
Big fact. Big fact. It's like we'd rather go get lipo than, you know, actually eat healthy and maybe, you know, go walking everyone, do some exercise. See,
people love taking it the easy way and always the best way. Sometimes you have to take it out, do it the long, strenuous way. It's much better.
I feel that I've had a vaccination before. It hasn't really affected me too much. It was like a flu vaccination. And it was like 10 years ago, though. And then I have a stepdad in the medical field, so he informs me on a lot of things, too. But I also know history. So the thing about it is I don't trust government too much. I don't trust people too much, so I'm not going to trust government too much at the same time. Like, I trust science and everything, so this is where my conflict relies at. But, you know, there was the Tuskegee experiments and things like that they just tested out on Black people and things like that first. And that makes me extra paranoid of what a vaccination will do you know, in general. Like you said, some conspiracy theories are just conspiracy theories, but a lot of them are built around fact. And then the other conspiracy theory that kind of went around this is like, all right, you know, the people are real deep in astrology and deal in tarots and in zodiac and stuff like that or whatever. I've been noticing this thing on Black Twitter and on the internet after a while where everybody was saying, so what your superpower is going to be on December 21st, right? So I'm like, what the fuck's supposed to happen on December 21st in general, right? So at first, you know, December 21st is the beginning of winter, you know, it's the solstice. It's the beginning of Capricorn season. We're all Capricorns in this, in all three of us pretty much. So I thought it was some old, you know, extra zodiac chakra stuff or whatever. Then it was said, all right, they limited down to Black people are going to get superpowers or whatever in general. So I'm like, all right, so what's the difference here? I'm asking all my, you know, close to the, you know, spiritual realm friends or whatever that talk to the people that do tarot cards and everything and know all the zodiac and oh you a Libra so you do this and this, those type friends and everything, and and they're saying it's supposed to be a spiritual awakening, you need to be full of positive vibes to, you know, manifest you know, whatever you will, you know, like or whatever. So I think Black Twitter took that and ran with it. But when I did more research, it started off on a conversation about the vaccine or whatever. The, like, they were saying, like, so y'all, you know, it started off like, wait, here's the quote right here. It says, it started off with this quote: as Black people, genetically, we are stronger and smarter than everyone else. We are more creative. On December 21st, our real DNA will be unlocked and majority will be able to do things that we thought were fiction. Learn who you are as a people. They want to make us average, whatever. And then above that, it was like, just wondering what would be the benefit of government modifying everyone's genetic code. So it was basically they were thinking that they were putting the vaccine out to start playing with and modifying, like the whole pandemic was a whole situation to see how we could play with people's DNA and modify the genetic code. And then it got into this person saying this, and then it just, Black Twitter just ran with it just over and over and over again or whatever. Like, so that's why I asked y'all at first or whatever, if y'all had superpowers, what would it be? So when the 21st come around, I know what to expect from y'all two niggas.
Well, if you see me and the whole fam, just pull up with no whip, you know. You know how we got there, fam.
I was wondering.
Around my Manhattan group.
Y'all gonna see me looking like, why is this nigga glowing all the goddamn time? He's just observing it. Like, he looked like him, but it's like a glow to him. It's looking what, better.
The next podcast will be very entertaining.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't feel nothing on the bottom of my mouth, man. Like, all this is no.
For the listeners, yo, he's taking oral gel. It's not like he's like doing some crazy shit or whatever. Yes. He got oral gel.
But his jaw just got real slack all of a sudden out of nowhere. So the visual.
I don't want them to be thinking no type of way about my homeboy. You know, man.
Yes, no.
Can't be doing that.
I do not do drugs. I do not do drugs or any illicit substance. I do not do any funny business either.
Just say no.
Did you see the seriousness? Did you see the seriousness in Face's face when he said that? So he mean that.
Right. Hey, listeners, just say no. And we mean that.
Right.
Those are three words that you can take to the bank. And on another note, speaking of three words, I was looking back at 2020 and... this morning, I started my day off with a little Google year in 2020 or whatever kind of recap video that they created. And as I was doing that, I was just thinking, as you look back on the year 2020, the hell that that's been, as we go into it, what are three words you would use to recap the year, and why would you choose the, either one that may take off? Or if you the, need a second to think, I don't slide.
The first three words that popped in my head is, I am alive. Because Lord knows it was sometimes throughout the year that, yeah, like I'm pretty sure everyone in that year, in this year, had like a moment where they felt like, okay, there's some danger about. Even if you didn't get hit with COVID or something like that, it was just so many things going on every single month. In general, I'm not sure if I got hit with COVID, but I know in February I got hit with some type of flu that it was out for 2 weeks, and I don't get sick like that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, and then I had those moments where I felt like, oh shoot, if I don't do something, I might not make it out of this. You know what I'm saying? The way I was feeling, pretty much. And then after that, you know, even in amongst that, everything was going on. Kobe's death, and his kid, like just different stuff all around the world. It got crazy. It just felt like every month was a different level in the video game. They were talking about murder hornets in May and shit. So I am alive. I'm just happy I am alive.
Face? Or do you still need a couple of seconds to think on?
No, man. No, I'm just thinking about how I was going to answer the question. I can feel my jaw a little bit more now, so I can actually articulate a little bit. So your question was three words to describe the year. Mm-hmm. First word I can think of is strengthening. This year, it hit a lot of people with a lot of grief. A lot of people lost a lot of loved ones. And for the most part, a lot of people couldn't be there for their loved ones when they were sick. So a lot of people had to be strong at a distance. So it was a lot of strengthening going on. Second word, goofy. It's a goofy-ass year, man. With everything that goes on, between politics, the country's climbing, the COVID going on, the different things in each government around the world, just a bunch of goofy-ass shit going on. I'm struggling to put a word on it, but I'm gonna just have to say sad. From start to now, if I'm just looking at America, I'm gonna say sad, because where the country went to, the extremes it had to go through to get to where it is now, all because of some dumb stuff that comes from one person and the ideal to trickle down to the rest of the common people and everything that just went from that. That was sad. To speak on COVID again, the great amount of loss of life, that was sad. Death of Kobe, definitely sad. Death of these rappers we just lost, definitely sad.
Yeah.
I mean, all these rappers. Every year we lose people, but it seems like this year we lost a lot of people. I don't know if it was just because it was the double year, the 2020. So it was an omen sign or something. But we lost a lot of people this year. And it was just at the end of it was a goofy ass sad year, man. It made a lot of people have to be strong. So
if that's no even.
My three words, man. Give my three words.
So I guess my three are six, thrive, and jackass. So the six, I don't know. I just feel like this year has just thrown that number at me in so many different ways. Like I think of 666 and the Antichrist and the way Trump and a lot of leaders have acted this year. I think of 6 feet deep, to some like all of the loss and just consistent death that has surrounded this year. I think of the 6 feet that we got to stay away from people in public, and that's a normal part of our life. Like it used to be 6 feet was like how you knew if you were tall or not. Now it's 6 feet is literally a mandate of how you have to move through life to keep yourself safe. So that was the six. The thrive is, I feel like in many areas, yes, it's been painful this year, but in many areas, I feel like 2020 has allowed me to see things not just survive, but thrive in this climate. Like people either grow their businesses or start businesses that they hadn't started before COVID hit. I've seen the human race just kind of take more stock and like really come together to really push each other to love each other more and like really help each other. And I'm seeing people like open doors for each other and help each other with stuff just because it's the right thing to do. So that's, I don't know. It's just a sign of like thriving. The earth, because of us staying in the house more, the earth has started to come back and thrive more. You saw animal populations and certain plant populations start to grow their numbers back up to out of being endangered. So like thrive. My third word was jackass. I feel like this was the year of jackasses being on parade. Like if you were ever confused about who the dumbest people in society were or the most corrupt or just fucked up people were, I feel like this year they all came out on display, from every dumbass senator that caught COVID because they refused to fucking wear a mask, to Trump ass in every decision he's made this year, to the way police and local officials have handled big time court cases this year. Just if you wanted to see who the jackasses of our society was this year, 2020 put a big spotlight on their ass and said, come on out and shuck and jive for us, guys. Jackass would be my last word.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yes, yes. In the worst sense of it. And speaking of jackass, that's going to lead me to this week's Umar update.
Oh, brother.
Yes. Stay tuned next week, guys, for the Umar year in review, where I recap all of the highlights from Umar's year, those that we've talked about on the show and those that happened before we started, because he's had a hell of a year. So, since the last episode, Umar has first been scrutinized for his begging for money on Cash App while he was out to eat following the cleanup day. So if you remember the last episode, I talked to you guys about him having the two anti-protest days for protests that were never scheduled in the first place. So he could have an excuse to get some supporters there to the school, have some dumbass photo op, and then on that Friday, pretty much get them to clean up his gym for him and mop his gym floors. So
donations.
After the live stream that he forgot was on, and he was talking about the lighters that they had left in the smoke room in the school and all of this weird shit, he goes out to eat with them. Now, he looks high as a kite on this video. The other men in the video with him, one of which is the man he was talking to about the lighter, you could tell because they have on the same clothes, and the man, you could tell the belt is the exact same belt from the live stream that he got caught on. So they out high as a kite at this restaurant. He's live streaming and he starts going in about Cash App. And he's like, you know what? Matter of fact, right now, I'm going to get on your Cash App and send me a donation. I'm going to shout you out right now. And for a few seconds, he started naming off like maybe eight names or whatever and how much they sent in. And then it got quiet. And people, I guess, were taking a break and didn't feel like sending none of them. And he looked so depressed. He was like, hey, you know, what's going on? I know y'all can do it, but the Cash App must be broken. I know y'all gonna send me something. Oh, there you go. $1 from whoever the lady was. And he was like, thank you, ma'am. That might have been your last dollar. Come on, somebody send me something. Like, he did this for a good 10 to 15 minutes in this restaurant, begging for money. Got off the live stream, came back on the live stream where he harassed a lady who was with them because she ate at a different restaurant because she didn't want to eat vegan food. She wanted to eat some meat. She said, I haven't eaten all day. I'm hungry. I don't want to eat vegan sprouts. I want some food. I'm hungry. He's sitting there, well, you could have ate the veggie option, girl. Like basically berating this lady because she don't want to eat what he want her to eat. Mind you, this is a grown ass woman who just sat in his gym all day and cleaned up and swept and mopped and Fabuloso and bleach that ain't even supposed to go together, about to kill everybody in there. So that was the first incident. Then he was in Florida and North Carolina signing his books, which had no incident. So this is like the first thing he did in like months that had no weird occurrence, no suspicious activity. It was just him signing books and taking unusual followers. Although one of the followers did break out into a random spoken word display that was very... And then Umar decided to... you could see that on Umar's Instagram, but I don't know what to call it. He then decided that he wants to organize an all-male camping trip. Mind you, this is in Virginia, in Nat Turner land, which is in the country. You know what Nat Turner land is. In the middle of the winter, he wants a bunch of black men to come out on an all-male camping trip to go paintballing, sit out at night, make a bonfire, talk, and hike the Nat Turner Trail. Now, he said he wants to do this, but he has no date on it. Nat Turner land has no advertisement about it, but he has flyers all over his Instagram advertising this event.
There's a Nat Turner land?
Yes, Nat Turner land. That's the place where Nat Turner staged his revolution and ended up getting killed at the end of his revolution.
Yeah, I know Nat Turner, but the
land is still owned by Nat Turner's boy, and they have tours and like a museum on the land. Like they do like a historical like walkthrough of what happened during the revolution or whatever. But he wants to go there and take random black men into the woods with him. He's now under fire because he may have a lawsuit pending. More to come on that in upcoming shows, though, because the piece of paperwork that is out there now look kind of janky. So I don't know if that's a fake lawsuit or not. So I got to check in on it. But if it is a lawsuit, this lawsuit is basically, it's accusing him of a lot. So, yeah. He's also been called out for not creating or partnering with any program for black boys or children, despite the fact that his school buildings have been found to be surrounded by the Boys and Girls Club and at least 2 to 3 other organizations that specifically serve underprivileged black and inner city youth. And they are all within 2 blocks of the school buildings that he supposedly purchased and owns. And he has not done anything in the past 2 years since he got the building, or a year and a half since he got the building, to reach out to these people, to formulate a program or a partnership to build any trust or like actually do anything for kids other than get on your Cash App, $FDMG account, FDMG at school. Get on your PayPal, paypal.me/FDMG account. And then lastly, he is now soliciting people to send him free copies of their black works that they've created. So their textbooks that they've worked on and created, or their curriculums in any subject, that so he can review them, air quote, so that he can see if he wants to use any of them in his school when he opens. Critics of Umar basically are pointing to the fact that either it looks like he either wants to steal these people intellectual properties and pass them off as his own curriculum when he opens the school, or he is just using this as another ploy to fake like something is coming with this school and continue to beg us for Cash App and then tell us that Cash App is broke when we don't send him.
Both.
That's this week's Umar update. It's been a slow week for the big fella, which is good for Umar because he's had a busy past 3 months, but things were heating up over this past weekend, and I saw some very critical and suspect things on his live lately. So I will have more updates next week on the Umar year in review recap. And that's all for my Umar update this week. Thoughts, opinions, or whatever.
That motherfucker great.
Umar. Umar, why are you acting like that? What's wrong with you, Umar?
What are you talking this thing? What's
wrong with you, Umar?
He talks some good stuff, but most common men do.
That nigga is an intellectual troll. Like, he trolling people for money.
Oil salesman of academia.
I wonder if he play ball in the gym. They got a whole gym.
Based on how it sounds when he gets up off of sitting on them steps out there at FDMG Academy, I don't think he runs and plays much of anything. True. I think he spends a lot of time sitting on his ass smoking reefer or crack or whatever they're smoking in the trap band, though.
Now, next topic I want to cover tonight is a personal theory of my own. I've developed over the past couple of years. It's called the smell theory, and it's not S-M-E-L-L, like smell.
I was thinking olfactory.
It's capital S, capital M, capital E-L. That's it. It stands for, it's the acronym, it stands for self-motivation, self-elevation, self-liberation.
Okay.
So it's like a process. The whole theory is like a process. It starts off with self, and in order to start with self, you have to, identify the power of self and realize what you can do if you understand yourself. Most people depend on their motivation to come from outside sources and don't really tap into their inside source and get up off their ass and do it themselves. That's the first step in getting yourself motivated, is getting up and actually getting to it. Too many times people got dreams and I wish I could do this. I wish I could do this. Take this podcast, prime example. It won't long before we say we wish we could do this before we got up off our ass and did it.
Yes.
We were our own motivation. It didn't take nobody else to, hey, y'all three, come on, y'all three. No, we three got together with an idea. We three put it together. We got up on our feet. This is the first step. This is self-motivation. You feel me? Self-motivation is actually putting the thought into the physical, getting it moving. You may not be at that end point yet, but you got to get started. That's a self-motivation. That leads to self-elevation. Self-elevation, that's your next level. That's getting yourself out of the current situation you're in. And if you take this podcast, for example, once you get to the monetization level on anything we're doing, that will be the next level, because that would initially get us out of the phase that we're currently in, understand? So self-elevation. Also with self-elevation, it takes account of, once again, back to personal self, mentally, emotionally, and physically taking yourself to the next level, elevating, getting yourself out of your personal comfort zones, tapping into other ideals maturing mentally. That would be your self-elevation point. Now, self-liberation, that's the end goal. You want to free yourself from the ties that bind you. Those ties that bind you will be socially, anything holding you to, any constructs that you feel that you have to stay into or have to fit into, any boxes you feel like you may have been forced into. Self-liberation is a total and utter admiration of self. You've motivated yourself to get out of the situation you're in, to free yourself from everything. Motivation, elevation, liberation. Smell theory.
I smell you. I smell it with the rock is cooking. I guess I would just say, I like what you're putting down there. You done definitely activated your guru chakras or whatever and went real Dalai Lama on us here. I did not expect that from when you first said that you wanted to talk about the smell theory. I had a whole nother train of thought going on that. so this kind of took me off guard. I would say, though, you need to bottle this up and package it. And can put an actual process to how to do each one of those steps, you onto something here on the self-help game. Like, that's what everybody does need, like, to be motivated, to elevate themselves out of whatever situation they're in, and then to liberate themselves to be their best self. So, yeah, I smell it.
Exactly.
Smells good.
Because you have to realize people always depend on, most time people look for motivation from others. Even in relationships, we look at, well, you didn't motivate me. You didn't motivate me. But how many times do we look at the self in the mirror and say, I didn't motivate myself. I didn't motivate me. So before we can look at somebody else and say, I need you to motivate me, we have to look at ourselves and like, I need you to motivate me. Self-motivate yourself. You feel me? Can't nobody else help you if you don't want to be helped. And that's the main thing. If you can't say that you want to do it and you're willing to take that first step, nothing nobody else says to try to motivate you will. So there will be no elevation to no other levels. There will be no liberation because you don't aspire to be another point but that. So when it comes to people who are destitute, people are homeless, I've been homeless. Mm-hmm. I'm not no more because I refuse to be in that situation. So in that instance, I was liberating. I went through the situation where I had to motivate myself to become better, elevate myself out of those situations, and liberated myself from that. So no, I'm no longer homeless. I'm been doing a lot better than that, a lot better than I was doing. To the instance that sometimes when I do see those less fortunate, I do give, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to get at everybody because I ain't no stupid man. I ain't no sucker. You ain't going to fool me twice. I've already been tricked once or twice. I just want to tell this story before I let y'all speak too. Once upon a time, when we were living in Hampton, Pat, you was this at the Buddy House. Everybody remember the Buddy House. Mm-hmm. So we're living in Hampton right off Mallory. Every day we get off work, we get home right around 7 p.m. It's always this handicapped guy. He's in a wheelchair. He's an amputee, and he got a dog with him. He's on the end of the off ramp. He only got a sign.
I remember. Yeah.
Me tuna for dog. I'm like, you know what? The VA right down the street. I get it. He probably ain't got benefits. Bet. Let me give him something. So I pulled up one day. I gave him $5. Went on about my business. Why did I come downstairs the next morning and realize this nigga lives downstairs in the same apartment I live in? Why am I giving you money? Fool me once, won't fool me twice.
Wow. I remember you said that shit to me.
Yo, that reminds me of Don't Be a Menace when the dude was begging for money and then he takes off the joint and he got like a...
Yeah.
Bins. Like, yo, that's crazy.
Yo. What? Yo. And he won't live by himself. It was him, his wife, and his son. His son was retired military, so he had benefits. He just liked doing that shit.
Oh, damn.
In another mind state, in another reality, somebody else might have said something else. You know? But it was no need. Chalk it up to a loss. That's the way most adults should see it nowadays. It means just chalk it up to a loss. Ain't no need for me to take it to the next level because that next level would have led me into something I didn't want to be in. So I made the right decision at the time. Just like I chalked it lost, life lesson won't fool me again.
Yeah. So.
It's just sad because somebody like for the other ones, because it might be somebody that's really do need that help and now somebody passed them over because they scared to get burned again, that type of thing.
Exactly. That's why I do like a 2-3 ratio. Every two people I see, I skip three and then I give to two. I skip three to get a two. So I do like a 2-3 ratio. So I make sure if I'm getting food, they didn't get me every time, you know? So somebody helped me out at one point in time. Remember one point in time. You feel me? I'm going to get real, real with you. I'm going to see if you remember this part, little bro. I remember when we were smoking cigarette butts that were on our cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Remember so we couldn't even afford a Lucy.
You remember the struggle, bro?
We couldn't even get 50 cents together to lose. Hell yeah.
But look at us now.
Hell yeah.
Can't do that shit in COVID.
No, that's big. That's big, though.
Can't do that shit with COVID, B.
Nah, hell no, nigga. That'd be your last cigarette. You die. For real. Fuck lung cancer. Your ass died. That vid. That vid getting people, boy. It's undefeated right now.
Oh, yeah, man.
I like that though. Smell theory.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the self motivation thing is real because 2 years ago I started drawing that book or whatever, and it just the simple motivation of saying, you know what, I'm gonna do a page after I get off work. Like as soon as I get off work, while I'm hyped up, I'm gonna do a page, and it is done. Now I'm just going through the coloring process and everything, trying to do everything right so I can have it right. Pretty much, but
You heard it first here, people. Smell theory. So if you hear anybody else say anything else about smell theory, you know they stole it from Face.
Right on.
Published. This is published.
Like when you see somebody not like doing what they should be doing with their life, and like not living up to their full potential, be like, man, hey y'all, go smell yourself real quick.
Cause you stink.
Go smell yourself.
Smell toxic. Smell real toxic over there.
I like it. I think that's dope. You know what? I think that's a good place to end this week on just a beautiful place of positivity and just, you know, smelling ourselves, you know, smelling yourself used to have a bad connotation to it, you know, to some such a moment them say to you when you getting out of hand or you getting too big for your britches. But now smell yourself, it got a whole new beautiful meaning behind it.
Oh, yes. Right, new apparel coming for now. Smell yourself. New apparel about to drop for smell yourself. Watch me.
Big facts. Well, might as well go ahead and get into it. Let's go over announcements for the week. So for me, coming at you guys on the podcast and YouTube tip, you can expect new promo for the store coming out. So we're going to have some new commercials dropping and new promo material wrapped around that. You will also see a new podcast format coming this week. So not only will we have our normal audio drops that drop on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify, you know, whatever you listen to podcasts on, and YouTube, you will also be getting, Patreon will always get their unedited videos, but now YouTube members will get bite-sized video clips. So you will get to see and hear some of the conversation that we're having this week and every week going forward. So you'll get, you know, parts of our conversation to just kind of let you in on what we're talking about that week and allow you to sound off in your own way. Please like, comment, and subscribe when you get that on YouTube. It just helps us, keeps us in the algorithm. And it also gives you guys a chance to give us feedback on what we need to grow and feed you guys what you're looking for from us as a group. Tiz Takes coming at you again this Saturday, as always. I'll be basically recapping the Volume 6 that just went down on Caffeine, giving you my thoughts and takes on the whole event and giving you my winners from the event. And I'll also be recapping about 3 app drops, some battles that just came out over the past 2 weeks that I've got a chance to finally sit down and watch. So I'll be recapping those. So that's all I got on the YouTube podcast. And what you guys got on social media merchandising, guys?
Facebook, hashtag #ThePodNas, the Podnas, the quickest way to get to our Facebook. That's also at the Podnas for the Twitter and the Instagram. You'll be definitely seeing reels of like little moments of the show on the video. So y'all know where to go. You have all the links right there. So y'all can go right to the YouTube, right to the Spotify, whatever DSP that you will have.
Big facts. And if you just want to interact with me, you know what I'm saying? I do be on the Twitter a lot. So if you, you know what I'm saying, want to have a conversation, you want to let us know what we should cover in the next week's topics, or you just kind of want to, you know, just get to know us better or whatever, you know, feel free to drop us a line, holler at us, post on us, comment on a post we make. You know, we do interact with fans and viewers. So if you know us, if you want to know us, that's a way that you can kind of get to know us outside of the podcast. Big Face, apparels, merchandise, what we got this week?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we still got the stores rocking. Just dropped some new merchandise the other day. We're working on our new sweatpants coming out for Partner's Closet. So you can definitely visit the store at teespring.com/stores/Partner's-Closet-1. That's Partner's, PODNAS-Closet. LOSET-1. Our other store is Face and Company. That's also on teespring.com. You can visit that website at teespring.com/stores. That's Face. That's spelled PHACE-CO-2. We do have new stuff dropping on both sites. But once again, we're Partner's Closet. We're working on sweatpants and sweatshirts this week. We just dropped some kids merchandise last week. And we're coming out with new promo codes this week that we would drop on commercials and promo ads. Check the promo ads for the promo codes. Now, if you want the promo codes, we got some for 15% off. We got some for free shipping. So you got to check the promo ads to get the promo codes.
Big facts, man. As always, once again, I can't say it enough. Thank you to anybody who listens and watches. We appreciate every single view, every single click, every download, however you're interacting with us as a brand. We appreciate it. We just three brothers with a dream. As always, I have been one third of the Podnas. I am Tiz, along with my brothers.
Pat.
I'm Face.
And as always, we are the Podnas. Three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhoods, having conversation that you can join. We're not experts on anything, but we do have opinions on everything. Till next time, see y'all next week, fam.
Every post.